Thank you so much. Yes, may we rest in the finished work on the cross. I appreciate that. Yes, yes. I'm going to ask you, David, if you would turn that light back. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And when you get to be my age, I've heard you calling me Mrs. Wagner, so I feel really old here. You may call me Kimberly, you may call me Kim, you may call me Hey You. I'm just glad to be here with you. I have been so blessed by meeting some of you. I hope to meet more of you later this evening or tomorrow. Oh, you have already just filled my heart up with joy as I've met you and interacted with you. It's been a huge blessing. You want me to move that? I sure will. You're welcome. I am thankful for those who are assisting us in so many ways. We have live streaming going on, so if you're joining us by live stream, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful you're with us. Pray you will be blessed. And I thank you for those who are translating this simultaneously into Spanish. So appreciate that. I am excited about God's truth and God's word going out into Latin America, going out into Spanish-speaking countries, and I'm going to be talking more about that tomorrow and sharing with you how you might want to get involved with that and how you can be a part of that ministry. So I am very excited and appreciative of those who are translating this simultaneously, so I will try not to talk too quickly. I just wonder what you thought when you heard that your church was going to be hosting a conference on biblical womanhood, or you heard about True Woman. I met some women here from another church who have done our study, True Woman 101. I'm going to mention that tomorrow as well. Yay! I'm glad. And they were telling me how blessed they were by that. And one of my sisters here was telling me that this was eye-opening for her to do that study. Well, you may have come here tonight and you don't know what you think about this biblical womanhood stuff. Or you may have been invited by a friend or a family member, and you may hear some things tonight that sound a little different. Maybe it will be eye-opening for a few women, or maybe you're just not too sure about what you're even doing here. And I want to tell you that you are not here by accident, that God has brought you here tonight for His sovereign purpose, and He has a word for you. And I pray you leave here tonight encouraged, having a better understanding of your identity as a woman and what God wants to do in your life and through your life. I have a little bit of confession to make. It's always good to confess. We never need to hide. We need to confess and be open and transparent. So I'm going to give you a confession. How many of you know what a mirror hog is? Do you know what a mirror hog is? Okay, one lady in here knows. That's, you know, I've gone to a lot of church camps where I'm in a room full of like 40 girls and you've got one mirror. And the mirror hog is the girl that's in front of the mirror all the time and all the other girls are trying to see the mirror, you know, just a quick glance. Well, I'm not a mirror hog, but I'm a mirror dodger. And what I mean by that is, you know, especially as I've gotten older, I will see this person in the mirror and I'll think, who is that? Oh, that's me? That's me? I don't recognize her because I'm getting older. But really, I've always been a mirror dodger. And it's really because I'm usually in such a hurry. You know, I can quickly put on my makeup, fix my hair in the morning, and then I'm out the door. And I can go literally all day. This isn't necessarily wise, but I can go all day without looking in the mirror again until time to go to bed. And so it's good to have friends who are handy who will let you know when you have a bit of mascara under your eyes, like my friend Jean let me know last night. That's always helpful for people to let you know that. Or you've got mustard on your face. But You know, I'm a mirror dodger in a way, but the kind of mirror really that we never need to dodge from is the mirror of God's Word. And I'm going to invite us this weekend to use God's Word as a mirror. And we won't just look quickly and then run off. But we will allow this mirror to search deeply into our hearts. And in this mirror, we will see a reflection of who we truly are. If we do have, maybe not a smudge of mascara, but maybe we have a smudge of self-centeredness. Or maybe we have a bit of pride. Or maybe there's some wrong thinking, and that's affected our countenance. I pray that the Word of God, the mirror of His Word, will open our eyes to that. And we won't settle to just keep on running our merry way looking like that. But we will allow God's Word to bring transformation. And so tonight, before I begin speaking, let's go to God and let's ask Him to let the mirror of His Word do that for us, do that in our hearts tonight. Will you join me? Now, I'm kind of an old-fashioned girl from the South. You're from the South too, aren't you? I'm from a different area of the South, the country in the South. And one thing that we do in the South is there's different things we do to show respect and honor to people. Like, you've honored me tonight even by calling me Mrs. Wagner. I think that was out of respect. And I was taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am growing up. But also, and that's just showing respect for authority. Well, my highest authority and the ultimate authority is our sovereign God. And so I like to demonstrate my respect for Him by going to my knees in prayer. And I'm going to invite you. You don't have to do this. Many of you are unable physically to do this. But you can go to your knees in your heart in that posture of humility. But if you can, let's just go to our knees tonight and ask God to use His Word to speak to our hearts. Will you join me? Oh, Father, I praise You, Almighty God, that You are the one who seeks us out, who searches us. You know the inner recesses of our heart. You alone can see all the way down to our motives, our intentions, our thoughts, our attitudes. And I ask tonight, You would take Your Word like a searchlight, and You would step into those hidden places of the heart, things that we may not even realize are there. And You would open our eyes to that. I ask that You would bring transformation and change by the power of Your Spirit. I ask that You would fill me now and that You would speak to my heart and Your words would be directed in power to be able to speak to us where we are, to bring conviction, to bring grace for repentance, to bring transformation. I ask that we would leave this place changed, never to be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, in the 1960s here in the United States, there was a woman's movement going on. And Betty Friedan really was one of the women who started this movement. And she asked the question, what is it that will bring women joy and fulfillment? What is it that will bring purpose to their lives? Now, She asked the right question, but feminism gave us the wrong solution. And we've experienced that solution now for decades. You know, studies now are showing, and even prominent feminists are saying, that what the feminist movement gave us has not brought us happiness. Women are not experiencing greater happiness and fulfillment, but even less. Feminism offered women a bite of appealing fruit that promised greater freedom and enlightenment, but instead that fruit has only brought greater bondage and confusion. Feminism's question was on target, but feminism's formula has not provided the right answers or the solution. In contrast to that, in 2008, the True Woman Movement held their first conference in Chicago. And over 6,000 women attended that conference from 48 states and 7 countries. And at the beginning of that conference, John Piper, Pastor John Piper, opened with a message where he was telling women what true womanhood is. And tonight, that's what we're investigating. What is a true woman? And his statement was, I'm quoting from that message, he said, "The ultimate meaning of true womanhood is this. It is a distinctive calling of God to display the glory of his Son in ways that would not be displayed if there were no womanhood." Did you get that? God has created you to display God's glory, the glory of his Son, in ways that only you can do uniquely through your womanhood. The answer to Betty Friedan's question was not found in a movement or any external process. The answer to woman's fulfillment and joy, the answer to woman's deepest need, is found in a personal relationship with God. And through that, living out your identity as a woman, living out your purpose and design as a woman. So, if we want to know how to do that, let's go to the beginning, the book of the beginnings. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Let's stop right there. Do you know nothing else in all of creation is given this designation? We, you as a woman, me, we are created to be image bearers of Almighty God. We are created as no other creature is, with a soul, with the ability to relate to God, with the ability to reason and have understanding, and have God communicate with us through his word, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. No other creature in all of the world is able to do that. God created us that way, to be able to image God, be image bearers of God. You may be sitting here thinking, what does that mean to be an image bearer of God? To look like God. Well, you know, I said we're going to use the Word of God as a mirror. We're created to reflect to others what God is like. Just that, like that mirror gives us a reflection of ourselves. Well, we're to be giving a reflection to others of what God is like. And you may say, what is God like? Well, the way we know what he looks like and what he's like is by getting into his word. You know, don't you love walking through the Gospels with Jesus and seeing how he interacted with individuals? How he would stop during his day to pull up a child and just spend time loving on that child. How he was never too busy or too much in a hurry to spend time with individuals in need. And he was always doing the Father's will. He was always about the Father's business. Or what about like how 1 Peter 2 describes him? When he was insulted, he didn't throw back insult. And he was always submitted to the Father's plan and the Father's will. He took time to spend time with the Father in prayer. So that's a few glimpses of what he's like. He also stood for truth when it was hard to stand for truth. He stood against the evil in his day. Is that what you look like? Are you showing others? Are you imaging God to others? Okay, let's go on and read through this. And notice here, let us make man in our image. Do you notice that plural use for God here, us and our? That's important, and it's significant for us as women, because that's letting us know and reminding us that God is a triune being, that holy God consists of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead, all equal in deity, but those three persons, they function in different roles. Do you remember Jesus saying over and over again, especially in the book of John, I was sent by the Father. I am here to do the Father's will. So the Father, in that position of authority, was sending the Son with a mission to accomplish his purpose. The Son submitted to that and accomplished the Father's will. And then the Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son. Now, would you say, okay, so God the Father is superior to God the Son or to the Holy Spirit? No. Equal in worth and value and essence. Trinity in one God. I can't explain that. You know, my kindergartners, when I had a kindergarten class, asked me to explain that. You know what? If I had a God who could be explained, then he would be on the same level as me. I am so thankful that our God is transcendent. He is far above me figuring him out. And he knows far more than I will ever know. He is a God clothed in transcendent mystery. I love mystery. I love the fact that he allows us to know certain things about him, and he has condescended so that we can know and understand what he's like. But we'll never know all about him. He is beyond us. And so I can't really explain the Trinity, but I do have this understanding that there are different roles within the Trinity. They function differently. You know what? We as women, men and women, are created with equal worth and value, both in God's image. But we have different roles and function, just as the Trinity does. So, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Trinity is in this perfect fellowship together, this love relationship. And by imaging God, one way that we're created in his likeness is we're created for relationship. Let's go on here in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Do you see that distinction he makes there, male and female? He doesn't just say, okay, he created people. He makes this distinction of male and female, two genders. And he reiterates this again in chapter 5, verse 2. So, gender is important to God. It matters. You know, today we're living in a world which is pushing toward this unisex society, that God had purpose in creating male and female. And let's go on here and read about the purpose for the true woman. The true woman's purpose is to be in a relationship. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What do we have here? We have paradise. We have man and woman created to be fruitful, to be productive, to reign together, both created with equal worth and value, significant to God, in relationship with God. And he said, it's very good. Now, if you're here tonight and you're single, you're not married, don't think that because you're not in a marriage relationship that you are not fulfilling your purpose that God created you for. Your purpose, first and foremost, is a relationship with God. And then God desires to live through you and use your womanhood wherever he has you, whatever status you're in, single or married, through his relationship with you. He has called you to love him and love others. Out of that love relationship that you have with him, the overflow of that will be loving others. So we see this beautiful picture of paradise. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15. We're going to see that everything was very good, but there's a restriction that God gives to man and woman. And the restriction is there is a tree that he says, you can eat from all of this, but not this. Let's look at that in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, you may think of this as, wow, a narrow restriction. Why did God restrict this? Why did God do this? But, you know, I just see this as God allowing them to be trained in how to love God and how to love one another. Because by saying you cannot eat from this one tree, he was allowing them to demonstrate their love for him by obeying him. He was training them in righteousness by giving them a limitation of you shall not eat from this. So this was man's first opportunity to really trust God, to trust him that he knows what's best when he says, walk in my ways, obey me, don't eat from this. It allowed them to trust that, okay, God knows best. I don't understand why he's saying this, but I understand that he knows best. But what happened to Eve? Did she trust God? Did she demonstrate her love for God? Her love turned inward. And ladies, that's a dangerous place to be when your love turns inward and self-focused and self-centered. And let's see that in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She gave also some to her husband who was with her. And don't miss that. And he ate. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loincloths. They disobeyed God. They didn't demonstrate their love for God, their trust in God. Eve doubted God's love. She doubted his goodness and wisdom, or she would not have taken that fruit. She wanted more. She was given paradise. You would think with paradise literally at your feet, you wouldn't need more. But she turned from loving God to a selfish kind of self-devoted self-love. She wanted her own way. She was going to do things her own way and live independently of God. You know, when we turn inward in our love, it's a self-focused love, and that's a hunger that's never satisfied. Selfish love is a gnawing pain. And the more you feed it, the more empty you grow. And Eve's choice led to a bondage. It led to spiritual nakedness and a prison of death. Let's go on here in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the cool of the day. I love that. They heard the sound of God walking. What do you think they heard? Do you think they heard him singing? He was calling Adam. He was saying, Adam, where are you? I think they were used to walking with God, used to conversing with God. But now, just as it does for us, anytime sin enters, anytime we turn inward in our love rather than obeying God, there is blocked communication. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Anytime sin comes into our lives, we are hiding from God. There is a blocked relationship. We lose that close fellowship with God. And oh, ladies, there is nothing more dear than having a close and intimate fellowship. Sin is not worth it. It's not worth it. And Adam and Eve found that out. And God is calling to Adam saying, where are you? Where are you? Now, was God confused and lost and really didn't know where Adam was? Was he asking for information? No, he was doing a heart check. He was asking Adam to respond and let him know, what's happened? Where are you? And ladies, God may be doing a heart check with you tonight, or with me, saying, where are you? And I pray that as he is asking you, where are you tonight, that you'll respond, and you'll say, I'm right here, Lord, deal with me. Show me where I am, show me where I've wandered from, show me if there's any sin blocking us, blocking our relationship. Adam answered and said, I heard you, the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Ladies, right here we're witnessing the greatest tragedy in human history. When man's love relationship with God is broken, I appeal to you tonight. If you're hiding from God, if in some way your relationship and your fellowship with God has been broken, he desires for you to return. And he is a gracious and merciful and loving Savior who will welcome you back with open arms as you turn in repentance. This is the greatest tragedy in human history when we see this love relationship broken. I've been here. You've been here. We've all begun here because we all begin spiritually naked. We are born spiritually naked in a prison of death. That's how we enter the world. And we need to be clothed in God's righteousness in order to have a right relationship with Him. We need to be birthed spiritually out of that prison of death. We'll never find true fulfillment, true happiness in any place other than in a right relationship with God. The moment Eve grabbed the reins of her life, when she seized her independence, she turned her back on her love relationship with God, she disregarded His position of authority in her life and rejected His way of doing things, she entered the spiritual prison of death. So the true woman's greatest need is spiritual life, to be born spiritually, to be set free from that prison of death. You know, at the heart of the feminist movement was that question that I talked about earlier. What can bring true joy and fulfillment? What can bring purpose to my life? And throughout the ages, since this first choice was made by a woman to take things into her own hands and do things her own way, since that first decision was made by the first woman, then women have been seeking the answer to the question of happiness, fulfillment, and peace. And some today try to find it in a bottle of prescription drugs, in an immoral relationship, in an internet chat room, maybe in church work, you know, having a lot of head knowledge, being busy with a lot of activity, but really not having a relationship with God. For years, I struggled with looking to my husband for my happiness, seeking my fulfillment in Him, even though I knew Christ. I had a relationship with God. But all of us with women, we can try and fill our lives with things that crowd out our relationship with God and try to put other things in priority over that relationship. By nature, we all live for self rather than living for God. But we're all in need of change. We're all in need of transformation. You know what? God has given us the answer and the way for transformation and change. Let's look at Genesis 3:21 and see what God did for Adam and Eve, and it represents what He does for us. This is the answer to our great need in Genesis 3:21. Adam and Eve, remember, were hiding. They were naked in the garden. They tried to fix things with fig leaves. You know, they sewed some fig leaves together to try and cover up their nakedness. That wasn't the answer. That's like us trying to fix things with, an illicit relationship if we're unhappy, with prescription drugs or some other addiction. That's fig leaves. But instead, here in verse 21, the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. He clothed them. Now, where do you think He got those garments of skin? He didn't go to Walmart. I know that. He didn't pull out a sewing machine. You know what I think that He did, and Scripture doesn't say this explicitly, but what I think He did is one of those precious lambs that He had created, one that had been in the garden, possibly playing with Adam and Eve, He took that precious lamb and slit its throat and let Adam and Eve see the consequence of their sin, let them see a visual picture of death. They were spiritually dead. They were spiritually naked. They were physically naked at this point. And they needed to be clothed. And He took that lamb's skins. He skinned that lamb and made coats of skin to cover them, to clothe them, to represent that one day He would send His Son, who John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." and by that lamb being placed on the cross and his blood being spilled, he was providing clothes of righteousness. He was providing for you and I no longer to be spiritually naked, but to be clothed in robes of righteousness that we could enter into a right relationship with God. You know, this is the first reference to the forgiveness that comes from God through that sacrificial lamb. And what is a true woman? A true woman is one who has found her greatest need met in that relationship with Christ. And once she has met Christ in that relationship, and there's an ongoing work of change that continues and continues. And she is being changed, as 2 Corinthians 3 says, from glory to glory, to look more and more like Christ, so that she can fulfill that identity of being an image bearer of God and look like Christ. You know, I have some friends who truly are image bearers of God, and they look like Christ. They have been changed. They have been transformed. They have stepped out of the prison of death and been transformed by the power of Christ. And I want to introduce you to them tonight. And I'll let them tell you their story. But these women are praying for you tonight, and they are inmates in a prison, McPherson Women's Prison in Arkansas. And I want you to hear their story. I'm continually asking God to change me. I don't want to remain the same. I want to grow up to look like Christ. I want to be changed and transformed. I can't do that myself. These ladies have a radiance and a beauty of true women because they have been set free from that prison of death. Are you still there? Are you still there in that prison? Do you want to be set free? Do you even realize you need to be set free? I want to invite you to pray that same prayer. Change me. Set me free. I want to invite you tonight that I urge you not to leave this place if you are still in a prison of death. And I'm thankful that Veronica asked women from this church to stand. I hope you'll find a woman from this church. If you need prayer, if you need to be set free from the prison of death, if you're not living out what you were created to be, you're created to demonstrate and show that there is an almighty God and that they can be set free from a prison. So I invite you tonight to repeat that prayer and just ask God, will you change me? Will you set me free from my prison? Will you clothe me with robes of righteousness? I'm going to pray for you right now. And I encourage you, where you are, for you to pray and ask God to change you. Oh God, I thank you, Father, that you are the heart changer. I thank you for your willingness, that you didn't just leave us there hiding in a garden, in a broken relationship. You had a plan. You had a plan before Adam and Eve sinned. You knew what you were going to do. You, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you were the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And you, Father, I thank you that you chose us. You chose to call us to yourself by your Spirit, to draw us to yourself. And you are willing to change us. I thank you by the power of your word and your Spirit that you do change us. I lift up to you women tonight who are still in a prison of death and darkness. Maybe women who have a lot of head knowledge about you or have gone to church all their lives. Maybe women who have resisted you for a long time. Maybe women here who don't want anything to do with you, God. Your Spirit is graciously opening their eyes to the fact that they are trapped. They are empty. They've made a mess of their lives. And they do need to be set free from their bondage. Would you tonight, Holy Spirit, graciously grant the gift of repentance? I pray that women would be set free from the prison of sin and death, free to live for you, to know you, to be in relationship with you, to truly experience the love and joy that you give because of your work on the cross. I thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. I ask for openness on women's hearts as that they might seek out a friend, that they would be sensitive to your Spirit and led by your Spirit for conversations that will follow tonight. In Jesus' name.